Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
I do my show on the Heritage Radio Network because I think it's important to talk about the impact of technology on our lives.
I do my show to reach home cooks and help them do better.
Because I love getting together with people in the industry.
I like hosting my show because, to me, it's the stories about people and their relationship to food that help make the food more interesting and more delicious.
Our hosts do their shows as a labor of love, but we still need your financial support in order to keep the lights on and keep the tape rolling. Please become a member today at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Rennet. You've heard about it. It's a complex of enzymes that turns milk into cheese. Typically, rennet is derived from the stomachs of unweaned ruminant animals, but you can also get rennet from plants. And that's what we're talking about today, vegetable rennet, or cavolo vegetale in Italian, my broken Italian. Welcome to Cutting the Curd, broadcasting on the Heritage Radio Network. On today's show, we have Michelle Buster of Forever Cheese here in the studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Thanks for coming on, Michelle.
Thanks so much for having me.
Michelle is our official translator here at Cutting the Curd. She was on our episode last summer all about water buffalo, so be sure to check that out too. And on the line, we're super happy to have Mario Fiandino of Fattoria Fiandino in Piemonte, Italy. Come stai, Mario?
Tutto bene, grazie.
Yeah, grazie mille grazie. To you. That's the extent of my Italian. That's all you're going to get out of me. So we'd love to talk in the first half of the episode all about Fattoria Fiandino. I'll ask you some questions in English, and Michelle will translate them in Italian, and you just be comfortable and answer them. So I wanted to know, Mario, how did you come to make cheese?
Mario. Greg ti sta chiedendo perché fai formaggio, cosa ti ha portato di farlo?
Che cosa mi ha portato a fare formaggio?
Esatto.
Sì, allora diciamo la nostra è un'azienda familiare, quindi l'azienda l'ha fondata mio nonno nel 1940, anche se poi da generazioni, quindi io ho proseguito il lavoro dei miei genitori e di mio nonno.
It goes back to his grandparents in 1940, so he decided to follow in the footsteps of his parents and grandparents.
That's fantastic. Hopefully we have more people in America that follow that same track. We've been talking a lot about succession planning on the show. Here in America, as you know, we have a lot of younger cheesemakers, so they're the first generation, so we hope to follow in the footsteps of here, people like Mario and his family, so congrats on that. Mario, I've read your company described as a cheese producer of tradition and of innovation. What does that mean?
Dice che ha letto che voi producete in maniera tradizionale ma innovativo. E volevo sapere che cosa vuol dire.
Allora, noi produciamo in modo tradizionale perché facciamo ancora formaggi, alcuni formaggi tradizionali intesi con del caglio animale. Però è innovativo in quanto abbiamo innovato facendo nuovi prodotti, ad esempio il formaggio e la birra, e poi soprattutto usando il caglio vegetale, che è una cosa completamente nuova, sebbene fosse il vecchio caglio usato dai romani in antichità.
Grazie. What Mario is saying is they're traditional from the point of view that they started out and still make some cheeses using animal rennet, but they're innovative because they've made a lot of new products. They were the first people that I remember to make a cheese washed with the beer, the fromage baladin.
Sure.
And more importantly, for perhaps, is the fact that they decided to make cheese with vegetable rennet. And when I saw them, for example, I saw cow's milk cheese, vegetable rennet. Huh.
Right.
I've never seen that before. And we're in Italy.
Right.
So those are the things that called my attention more than the beer. Because they thought, when I went to them at Bra years ago,
right.
I ran by them in a tent. And they thought, oh, just another 1,000th person. They want to try our beer cheese. Great, but, you know, wait in line. We're busy. And I'm like, no. I'm interested in the fact that you're making cow's milk cheeses, raw milk, by the way,
yeah.
with vegetable rennet.
So I'm going to get into that in the second part of the show, all about the rennet. But what inspired them even to do a beer wash? Because I've heard here from cheesemakers here that they only wash the cheeses in the beer and in liquor to promote the rind's growth. That were they doing? Was he doing that for flavor additive or just to try something different? What made him deviate from the tradition of the cheese making of his family?
Mario, perché hai deciso di fare una cosa nuova? E quella è la prima parte della domanda. La seconda è perché hai deciso di fare formaggio alla birra? Tu volevi fare una cosa per la buccia, per fare una cosa diversa lì, volevi fare un... Cioè, perché hai deciso di farlo? Già sappiamo che sei stato, secondo me, la prima in Italia di fare formaggio con la birra.
Certo. Ma allora, per la prima parte noi abbiamo deciso, assieme al mio cugino, di produrre del formaggio a caglio vegetale, in quanto mio nonno lo produceva già in alpeggio, quindi quando si andava in montagna con le mucche, nel periodo estivo, prima, durante il periodo, anche prima della guerra, c'era difficoltà ad accaparrarsi, a comprare del caglio, perché veniva estratto dallo stomaco di vitello, quindi era un bene prezioso. E allora si usava l'erba selvatica, il cardo selvatico che nasceva sulle Alpi. E di lì avevo degli appunti, abbiamo pensato di riprendere questa vecchia produzione e l'idea è nata un po' per caso, un po' perché abbiamo trovato questi vecchi manoscritti. Quella è stata l'idea principale che poi ha caratterizzato le fattorie Fiendino, proprio il fatto di produrre formaggio con del caglio da cardo.
Ok, aspetta un attimo Mario, Mario, io spiego un po' questo e poi andiamo alla seconda parte della domanda, va bene? Ok.
Certo.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say, which I like.
Well,
if I were a smarter man,
Mario
said understand.
That they found an old manuscript
uh-huh.
from his grandfather, which
right.
explained that, you know, during or before the war, actually, when they would do the transhumance and
sure.
they took the animals up into the alpeggio, into the mountain,
uh-huh.
that what grew in the grass was the vegetable, was the cardo.
Ah.
So help me, I'm having my thistle rennet.
Yeah, yeah.
The thistle flower. So because it grew and it was easy access, once the war started, it was really hard to get a hold of the rennet, the animal rennet,
understood.
Because it was from the stomach. So they used what they had around them. And they got very excited by that, and they decided this would be a really cool thing to do again and to bring back into use. Ok,
cool.
Adesso mi spieghi per favore la parte della birra.
Ok, il secondo.
Pretty awesome.
Il discorso del formaggio alla birra invece è nato in quanto esistono in Italia alcuni prodotti fatti, alcuni formaggi fatti anche con il vino, i formaggi che vengono chiamati ubriachi. Allora, siccome noi eravamo vicino ad un piccolo birrificio, qui in provincia di Cuneo, in Piemonte, abbiamo deciso di avviare una collaborazione con questo piccolo birrificio che produce birra molto qualificata e molto apprezzata. Allora abbiamo detto facciamo un prodotto dove si possa, sempre con la birra, ma dove la birra entra proprio all'interno del latte e non solamente come aromatizzante nella crosta che poi viene tolta. Da noi la birra viene messa nel latte assieme ai malti d'orzo e la crosta del formaggio può essere mangiata completamente.
Okay, grazie. The idea to make a cheese washed with beer came from the fact that they were in Piemonte and well, they could have done wine, but you know, he was thinking about the ubriaco and all the wines soaked, but basically just the rind
sure.
in the wine. And so right next to him he had a small high quality birrificio.
Yeah.
And he said, what, you know, I think this could be a cool idea. So together we decided to go on this project, and we wanted to not just have the beer washed on the rind, but we wanted it inside the cheese.
Sure.
And so when I went, they actually add beer and barley into the paste of the cheese.
They put
when
the spent grains in there, right? They put the leftovers from the beer making process.
They do that, but then they also pour beer.
They put beer in the curds.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
And then it takes a process of like 3 days to do the washing because they do only half.
Uh-huh.
They do like three different levels of washing
sure.
it to cover with the beer and then the malt and everything else.
And he's right next to the Balladan Brewery. Right, and which is one of the first Italian craft breweries that we found out about here in the United States. I found out about it through Italy. They're a partner of ours up there in the Benedia, or what was the Benedia. They make great beer there. Beer making in Italy is fairly on that level, from what I've heard from the brewers that I talked to. And my roommate, who's just a fountain of knowledge about that and bought all the beer from Italy, is that that's a fairly new thing in that country. So the fact that the beer is innovative and the way they make the cheese is innovative is really cool. I really like that. Mario, what are your biggest challenges as a cheesemaker in Italy right now?
Mario, adesso in Italia, quali sono le cose più difficili come un produttore di formaggio?
Qual è la cosa più difficile nel mestiere del formaggio?
Sì, quali reti, quali sono le difficoltà che potresti incontrare?
Is it hard to find the milk he likes? Okay. Is it hard to, you know... to find customers?
Sì, sì, ho capito. Allora, difficoltà sono, intanto noi produciamo tanti formaggi, moltissimi di questi hanno una lunga stagionatura e quindi le difficoltà sono quelle intrinsechi nel produrre oggi e vendere magari il formaggio dopo un anno o un anno e mezzo, diciamo. La nostra azienda è molto bene specializzata, quindi è molto conosciuta, essendo un'azienda storica. Difficoltà ci sono sempre, come in tutti i settori, però chiaramente sono difficoltà nel settore del formaggio dovuti magari delle volte non tanto all'approvvigionamento di latte, in quanto abbiamo tutto latte vicino all'azienda, quanto piuttosto a delle crisi che possono succedere nel periodo nel settore lattiero caseario. Però non nessuna difficoltà particolare oltre questo. Ecco.
Tu dicevi che perché hai molti formaggi di lunga stagionatura, mi ha detto.
Non ho capito, scusa.
All'inizio ha detto che difficoltà dei formaggi in quanto hanno
esatto.
lunga stagionatura o non hanno lunga stagionatura?
Esatto, nella stagionatura lunga, quindi chiaramente la qualità del latte è sempre importante e viene sempre seguita molto, ci sono controlli accurati eccetera eccetera, poi siamo in Italia, c'è tantissimo controllo sulla qualità eccetera eccetera che da un lato è una fortuna, ma comunque c'è anche tutta molta roba burocratica che purtroppo carica
okay,
un po' l'azienda,
grazie.
Però voglio dire non ci sono difficoltà.
Okay. He doesn't find a lot of difficulties.
Fantastic.
He said he has all the milk supply he needs because he also has 100 cows.
Uh-huh.
He said if he would have to look for what might be difficulties, one is the bureaucracy in Italy,
sure.
and two would just be that a lot of the cheeses that he makes are aged for a long time. So you have to wait to see how they come. You have
sure.
to wait to make sure that milk that you checked to make sure was perfect, that the cheese has come out as good as it is. But
yeah.
in general, he feels very confident. And he says he has, since his company has been around for so long, that he has that name that helps him also.
That's fantastic. And I'm glad. A life fairly free of problems is a damn good thing to have.
For sure.
I wish I could say that for myself, because I absolutely can. Do you make any changes to your products for the American market, Mario?
He better not, but...
Yeah.
Mario, vogliono sapere se cambi...
Or do the United States, does he see the U.S. as having different preferences? His customers in the U.S. want the cheese differently than his Italian customers?
Chiede se hai fatto qualche cambio ai prodotti per il mercato americano e se tu vedi che i nostri esigenze qua negli Stati Uniti sono diverse in qualche modo del mercato italiano.
Ma allora, diciamo che i prodotti che noi vendiamo per il mercato americano sono gli stessi identici prodotti che noi vendiamo per il mercato italiano, quindi da quel punto di vista lì il prodotto è uguale, non è che noi produciamo in modo diverso per gli Stati Uniti. Diciamo che il mercato americano è sempre per noi in crescita, come diciamo in generale la nostra azienda sta aumentando le quote di esportazione. E tra tutti i mercati che noi ci rivolgiamo, quello americano è proprio il nostro il nostro, a nostro giudizio, quello che è più alto potenziale. Alto potenziale per poter diventare veramente uno sfocco importante.
Okay, grazie. He said that Jesus, he doesn't do anything different, which is what we always hope for. We don't want to change things for the American market.
Sure.
And that he just looks as the U.S. market as the best potential for his products because they're such a company who makes a lot of specialties, and the market is what we have when we have the ability with folks like yourself to shape that market.
Fantastic. So everybody loves your cheese, Mario. Everybody here at home and abroad. That's good. That's great. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to ask Mario specifically about his major innovation, which is using vegetable rennet. Stick with us.
Mario, aspetta un attimo, poi torniamo in un paio di minuti.
Okay, volentieri.
We'll be right back.
Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth generation cheesemakers, combining old world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh cheese curds. Or deep fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com. And as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. Eat Wisconsin cheese. Welcome back to Cutting the Curd here in the Heritage Radio Network. Before the break, we were talking with Mario and Michelle about Fattoria Fiandino. Mario's on the line with us from Italy at the end of his day, so we really appreciate him coming on. In the studio, you know, Michelle and I are we're plotting our second half of our show. For this half of the episode, I wanted to talk about vegetable rennet. You know, in the first half, we got a little overview of Fattoria Fiandino, and Mario is a later generation cheesemaker that is has taken the blueprint, a traditional blueprint of his family's cheeses, and expanded them and innovated. And his largest innovation, as he touched upon before the break, is that when he used to walk the animals up the mountain to practice transhumance, there's a large amount of thistle growing in and around there. And that made an excellent substitute for animal rennet, which was especially scarce during wartime. Not a lot of animals roaming around, not a lot of animal husbandry being practiced, probably not on the scale it was, so you can get the rennet out. I think that's really interesting. So Kinara cheeses, which include Lubergère, which is one of the cheeses that I love, that I get from Michelle, an Italian cheese with a French name, is produced with the vegetable rennet. Yeah, amazing. And so we wanted to ask Mario, our next question, or our first question for him, is what exactly is vegetable rennet and how is it produced?
Mario, ci sei?
Sì. Sì.
Ok, adesso parliamo un po' del cacio vegetale. Se ci potresti spiegare un attimino che cos'è e come si produce.
Come si produce, sì, certo. Allora, il cacio che noi usiamo, il cacio vegetale che noi usiamo, lo si ricava, è prodotto dal cardo. Quindi il cardo, tutti i pistilli, quindi la parte floreale, la parte del fiore del cardo, viene praticamente messa a macerare e poi per un sistema di filtrazione viene estratto dei principi attivi che si chiama cinarina in italiano, che ha la funzione di coagulare il latte e quindi si sostituisce in questo caso al caglio animale che viene invece il più usato in Italia, che viene invece estratto dal vitello da un vitello molto giovane.
Mario,
diciamo che viene,
scusami, quando lo mascheri lo metti in acqua o direttamente nel latte?
Allora, il caglio è preparato, il principio di cinarina è un prodotto liquido e quindi viene poi aggiunto direttamente in 2 litri, diciamo si mettono 250, una piccola quantità di caglio con 2 litri di acqua e viene poi messo, diluito, e poi viene messo direttamente nel latte. Certo.
So, this is from the thistle flower?
Yes.
And you use the stems, you use the flower, the part of the flower, and that gets ground. So they have it because they're using it more and more. They don't rely on just using the flower stems like I've seen in Spain and Portugal,
right,
where they'll take it and maybe put it in cheesecloth and steep it in water or in the milk. So he has it made into a liquid format for him so that then he adds water to it and then they put it into it.
So he makes his own rennet. It's his. It's not a... It's his own sort of recipe for it.
Ma il caglio che usate è fatto per te secondo la ricetta tua?
Il caglio che usiamo è una ricetta nostra, che ovviamente, come dicevo, era una ricetta di mio nonno, che chiaramente però poi io l'ho fatto produrre da un produttore di caglio.
Esatto.
Perché la nostra azienda fa formaggi.
Esatto.
Compriamo e lo facciamo produrre però da una ricetta, quella di mio nonno, che almeno mi risultava, difatti alcuni piccoli produttori, piccolissimi, producono con altri tipi di caglio vegetale, ma sono pochi. Il nostro è esclusivamente da cardo, perché la nostra tradizione era quella.
Ho capito, grazie. Yeah, he said that he's using the base, his grandfather's recipe.
Great.
But then he has it produced for him in this fashion. He also wants it to be more stable. And I know that by all the other cheeses that I used to buy there, sometimes you had to be so careful, like how much of this rennet you used. It's way more intense.
Right, so it's more potent than the animal rennet.
It is, and if you don't do it right, it can like taste super steely and
sure,
very difficult. So he had it transformed into the liquid one so that they could use it in doses and be more consistent with it.
And this is not a thing that's very traditional to Italy, using vegetable rennet.
Not
right?
at all.
Not at all. So it's really... So I guess... I get where the idea was born out of, or of necessity, but where did the cheese making technique come from? The idea of that, you know, it was his grandfather that started this, right? During World War II, using the vegetable rennet. Did he see that in practice in another country, or how did he come to have that information?
Mario, quando hai deciso di produrre usando caglio vegetale, come sapevi farlo? Tu sei andato a qualche altro paese per farlo o hai fatto delle prove? Come sei riuscita a fare un formaggio così buono usando caglio vegetale?
Se ho capito bene, come siamo riusciti, abbiamo preso del caglio, ovviamente abbiamo fatto delle prove. Il primo formaggio è stato fatto, sì, del formaggio quello alla birra, per quanto riguarda, perché volevamo mantenere una maggiore umidità all'interno del prodotto e quindi avere questo sentore di birra più pronunciato. E poi subito dopo siamo andati a finire su tutti gli altri formaggi. Ovviamente la prova è stata molto lunga, perché oramai la nostra azienda produceva con caglio animale come tutte le altre aziende italiane. È stata una cosa difficile da fare, ed è motivo per cui non c'è ancora nessuno che lo sta producendo, perché un po' perché gli manca la tecnologia, un po' perché sono anni e anni di prova.
He said that it was a lot of trial and error.
Right.
They did it first with the beer cheese because they were trying to get a more pronounced flavor, and so they were working with that as a technique. And he said it's not very usual to find in Italy because not a lot of people have the technology to do it.
Okay.
But it was a lot of trial and error, he said, to get where they want it.
So get the texture and the flavors correct in the cheese. What's his consumer feedback about the veggie rennet cheeses in Italy? I know in America, you know, vegetarians ask for, you know what I mean? When I'm out of Lou Berger, a lot of vegetarians are very upset with me, but for very different reasons, I feel, than, say, the impetus for him using vegetable rennet. Does he have that same kind of consumer in Italy?
Cosa dicono i consumatori dei vostri formaggi fatti con caglia vegetale? È una cosa ricercata? Lo vogliono soltanto perché di caglia vegetale? Lo vogliono perché piace il sapore?
Certo, allora noi riceviamo decine di mail quotidiani da parte dei consumatori che ci ringraziano comunque di aver iniziato una produzione con del formaggio, con del caglio non animale. Questi chi sono? Sono sicuramente tantissimi vegetariani che decidono appunto, trovano un formaggio, diciamo una gamma completa di formaggi veramente vegetali, senza stomaco di vitello, una parte. Altri che dicono che si avvicinano sempre di più al mondo vegetale e preferiscono mangiare sempre meno carne. Diciamo questa è stata un po' quindi la cosa direi entusiastica da parte nostra, perché tutti i giorni riceviamo, ma da ogni parte del mondo, mail, gente che ci ringrazia e ci dice dove troviamo i vostri prodotti in quel posto, in quel paese, eccetera, eccetera. Però la nostra è comunque un'azienda familiare, quindi stiamo producendo, però non abbiamo dei volumi che non sono volumi così impressionanti. Rimaniamo sempre una produzione artigianale, anche la nostra.
Molto bello. He said that every day he gets 10 or more emails from people, some of them obvious vegetarians, just thanking them so much for making this cheese that's, you know, a vegetable rennet cheese that is vegetarian. And he says some of those are people who just are happier to get closer to the land. They're not really vegetarian, but they want to
have an ethical problem with the
right. It's more about being, you know, eating less meat, having less to do with the meat, but being more vegetable and plant-based.
Sure, sure.
So it's very satisfying to him. He said it's not just Italy, but he said he gets them for like all over the world.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, I always erred in the other way, you know. I'm a carnivore and omnivore, and I get cranky with people who demand vegetable rennet cheeses for me a lot at the counter, because I just get annoyed with it. But I think I look at it in a different way, and I think it's interesting for me to think about consumers of cheese in Europe that they buy PDO cheeses and they have to be made using traditional rennet, you know. So I guess you sort of get used to it. So it must be really refreshing to some people who want good cheese made in a traditional way, but they don't have to have it made by using the animal products.
And I just thought, because I'm a lover of this rennet cheeses coming from Spain and
Portugal.
I know,
Portugal. You were the first person to bring me those cheeses in my career, with like the Serra da Estrella and the Azzetaum.
Yeah, you know. And so to find it in Italy.
Right.
And there is another cheese, Cacciofiore, uh-huh. which is a small, like on the Presidio, uh-huh. of sheep cheese with the vegetable rennet from around like the Rome area. But I mean, this was just so different. I was just so excited because of the flavor profile and raw milk on top of it.
Well, that's something, and I wonder, is the use, and it's probably staring me right in the face, or it's just logic I've never thought of. Generally, I've only had thistle rennet cheeses that are made with sheep's milk. Is that generally because it's harder to obtain the rennet to make those cheeses in Portugal and Spain? Or is it just, a tradition of...
I think it's just tradition.
The thistle grows there. It does what they need it to do so that they don't have to get the acids from the stomach of the animal.
Yeah, I mean, you use what you have around you again. So that's just generally what you do in that part and in Western Spain. I mean, they're just basically some kilometers from one another when they're doing it, which is
that's crazy. Cool.
And think about the fact they also do the Lou Blau is so cool because I don't do cheeses from England, for example. So I don't know if the Dutch or the English or something anybody has a blue cheese using thistle. But that was completely innovative to me.
I've never seen it if it's out there, and I've seen a lot of cheese. I would ask Mario, how does the veggie rennet affect the ultimate cheese? You know, the flavor and the texture or the consistency. How has he found it's really affected his end product?
Mario, come vedi qual è l'effetto di usare cardo nei formaggi sul punto di vista di sapore, di textura, di consistenza?
Sì, allora il taglio incide molto. Una volta si pensava che la funzione del taglio fosse esclusivamente quello di fare coagulare il latte, quindi creare formaggio. Non è vero, in quanto il taglio rimane nel formaggio durante tutta la sua maturazione, durante tutta la vita del formaggio. Nel caso specifico del Cynara carbunculus, quindi col metodo Cynara, con questo sistema diciamo che per quanto riguarda i formaggi a pasta non cotta, quindi ad esempio facciamo un esempio l'Ubergé o piuttosto il formaggio alla birra, ecco, quei formaggi lì rimangono più tendenzialmente cremosi e un po' più umidi, mantengono più il gusto del latte. Invece sul formaggio cotto, quindi facciamo l'idea del Gran Cynara, che è il nostro formaggio parmigiano, quello a pasta dura, allora quello lì invece ha una velocità di maturazione maggiore, quindi stagiona, si affina più velocemente.
Interesting. So what Mario said is in his cheeses that are done from an uncooked curd.
Okay.
So Lou Berger.
Yeah.
The fromage à la birra, Ottavia they're calling it in today's world. He said they keep the flavor of the milk more and they have a much creamier texture.
Sure.
And he loves that texture. It's like that unctuousness that's just so wonderful that we know from those cheeses.
Yeah, the flavor profile is deep on those. Lou Berger isn't as strong, you know, it's not like a well pronounced flavor, but it's rich and that it's long, you know, which I feel is why people love it of all palates, you know, people who want a complex cheese, but also people who just want approachable, pleasant cheese like that. And for our listeners that don't know, when we refer to cooked curd cheeses, we're talking about after the initial coagulation and separation of curds and whey, he doesn't reheat the curds. He doesn't cook the curds again. That's what that means for anyone who doesn't know.
And he actually said that most people used to think that the rennet only had something to do with the coagulation.
The initial processes, yeah.
Exactly. And in fact, he finds that it has a big footprint on the flavor and the personality of the cheese.
That's really interesting.
And he said in the case of the Gran Cynara, which is his non-DOP like Parmigiano style, where he cooks the curd and it has a longer maturation, he said the thistle rennet actually accelerates the aging process in that cheese.
Interesting.
Which is very interesting. I didn't know that. I love doing this so I get to learn too.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. does Mario, do you get any inquiries from other cheesemakers? Do they ask you for advice on how to use vegetable rennet in their cheesemaking?
C'è qualche altro prodotto di formaggio che ti chiamano e vogliono sapere per loro come farlo? Si potresti dargli una mano per fare i formaggi con caglia vegetale?
Non ho capito. Chi è che non ho capito la domanda, scusa.
Vuole sapere se ti chiamano qualche altro produttore di formaggi, chi vuole imparare a fare i formaggi, se ti chiede aiuto per farli.
Sì, diciamo che in Italia, specialmente sul discorso del Gran Cynara, che è il formaggio grana che ha più grossi consumi in Italia, il formaggio parmigiano, grana, pasta dura, c'è molta gente che sta iniziando a cercare di produrlo, però non riescono a produrlo con la Cynara carbunculus, con cardo, e lo producono alcuni con dei cagli OGM. E quindi stanno cercando di imparare, ma ovviamente rimane un segreto dell'azienda, ecco questo. Sicuramente non abbiamo intenzione di aiutare altre persone, in quanto è veramente un frutto di, oltre alla tradizione, di tanti anni di prove e sacrifici aziendali, ecco.
He said that it's going to remain a secret for his company because
he
sees people mobilizing to do different things like that.
Yeah.
And they end up using like a GMO product and trying to do something
cutting
similar.
Corners. They're cutting corners.
And he said that's the natural evolution, but he said for now nobody's really been able to reproduce or produce what they're doing.
That's pretty awesome. I think that's good that he has his proprietary, you know, info like that and keeps it in the family. That's really cool. This was really interesting for me, and thank you so much, Michelle, for coming in. It'll be really interesting to see if more producers eventually get to the point where they use vegetable rennet. It seems like it might be out there. Might be up there on the horizon. Grazie mille, Mario. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful evening, and many thanks to you, Michelle. Be sure to tune in for more Cutting the Curd next week. Take care.
Ciao, Mario. Grazie mille.
Ciao, ciao.
Grazie a voi. Grazie a tutti. Grazie agli ascoltatori.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.